everyone, and welcome to Art and Labor. We are the podcast, the one, the only podcast dedicated to the ongoing struggle to survive as an art and or cultural worker. I'm OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love.
And surviving, we are doing our best.
I'm not surviving.
You're surviving.
I'm past it. I'm post-survival.
Yeah. I mean, but you had a really rough
week. I had, you guys, oh my God. Don't get the flu. Whatever happens to you in your life, whatever choices you feel like you want to make, you think a lot of your friends are getting the flu, why don't you try it?
Don't try it.
Don't try
it. It's not fun.
It's the worst. Oh my God. I basically, so I had a I drove the truck.
Yeah.
And then I was coming home on a mega bus, like I do it every week, which I gotta say, don't do that either. Don't do anything I do. And then I started getting sick, and somehow I managed, though. I took the bus. I ended up, I was like, oh, I gotta go get some groceries. As like my joints were starting to swell up, and I was like, wow, man, that bus ride really screwed me up. And I'm like, you know,
yeah,
I'm like,
how are you supposed to know what did it?
I know. I'm like, and I'm like a toughie. So I'm yeah. like, I'm like, oh, I,
you are, I you do are things, a
I do things that I can't do. I
All
do
the
things
time.
Like I shouldn't be doing this. This is way too hard for me to do. And then, you know, so I'm like, whatever. And I get the groceries and I go home, and then I'm like, and then I spent all of the days between then and now sick. Oh, very, very sick.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that's why we're like a week behind, I think. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I got a doctor's note.
Yeah. Show the listeners the doctor's.
Oh, yeah. I got a doctor's note that just says that I can't do anything and I'm sick.
Yeah. And you could show that to your truck boss and get the time off, but then you're just like not paid for those days, right?
Yeah,
I did that
this last week, so I just didn't. Which is all right, because some other things are starting to go kind of well. But
it's just, this is the life of a gig worker, though, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. It's like, oh, hey, you know, you didn't work your job, so you didn't get your paycheck, and you know. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, and you have to choose between going to work sick and not. I mean, I.
Oh yeah, this
I go to work sick.
Choice.
I just do it. Like, because my job is so small that like I try to call out and it never fucking works out, and I just get a bunch of shit, and I'm like, I guess I'm going to work sick, and I'm just not gonna fucking do anything.
I mean, I usually, mostly, I will go to work sick.
Yeah, but you can't if you're
this
that
time.
Sick.
It was like. I tried. We tried to record before.
Yeah.
And I was texting you about how I couldn't walk downstairs.
No, like we were like about to get on the trains to go record, and then you called and you texted me.
Oh yeah, no,
and I called you. And I'm
by
like,
the time I was like, it took me all that time between us being like, hey, yeah, okay, let's meet and we'll pod, and then I got down the stairs and I walked outside and was like, what is this place? Oh no. Oh,
and
I made a huge
mistake.
I was
mistake. Like, dude, you have a fever.
Yeah.
I was like, you have a fever and you need to go to the urgent care.
Yeah, I've had a fever for, I had a fever for over a week, and I.
You just thought it was normal aches and.
I was too, I had, no, my thinking was bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, I had no idea what I was thinking, except I know for one full day. I literally thought that I was a whale because my skin was like wet. And then I thought that
like cold sweats and
it was like waves of hot and cold. And I was just like pouring sweat. Everything came out of me and my everything. I can't even tell you. Don't get the flu, guys. Don't
do people,
it.
And people are young people like us. Are dying of the flu. Like, this is happening.
Oh, I think I could have died.
You could have died. Like, no joke. Like, I mean, New York City, for all of its bullshit, has fairly robust Medicaid expansion.
Yeah. CityMD also amazing.
That's, yeah, that was also like, that's been a big, like, positive push that has happened in our city is these, like, CityMD urgent care clinics that, like, take all insurance.
Yeah.
And
they're so nice. They're just so, they're so amazing. They know, like, you can go in with whatever you got and, like, I don't know, just get some help.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and then if you've got whatever Medicare, Medicaid, or whatever, there's no copay.
Yeah, and people are freaked out to go to the emergency room a lot of the time, and like they aren't sure, and so urgent care, I think, like, plays a role in, like, being, like, because I've gone with, like, my housemate once before, and, like, they were really nervous about going straight to the ER, and I'm like, well, let's go to the urgent care and see what they say, and they said, yeah, go to the ER.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Yeah, it's really hard, though, to figure out, like, I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I'm kind of like, I'll just be fine.
Cause no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I have to take care of myself anyway. I'll just do it with tea.
Right. I mean, well, that's... Oof. Yeah, we're pushing it today, recording today.
It's cool.
But I have this shit on my mind because I read this really fucking annoying article in Mashable today.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear
about
it.
I wanted to read to you and get your sick
person about
opinion
care.
On. And the article is called Self-Care Isn't Enough. We Need Community Care to Thrive.
I've been hearing community care like the past year, though, also.
It's not good. I mean, it's not sort good, of, folks. It's not good.
Yeah, it's totally bizarro. It reminds me... I know you're going to read this article.
Yes.
But
initial thoughts are good.
I just wanted to kind of link it into the thing that happened at Gavin Brown.
What
like,
do you mean?
It was a while ago. I think now it was like a couple years ago or something, or a year and a half or... But it was like,
This is a gallery for a New York-based gallery for any non-New York people.
Yeah, and it's like the best. And if you get a show there, you're like amazing.
Yeah.
And that makes you really good and stuff. And hey, if they want to show me, I'm available. I'm available.
If they want to get in on this cultural moment.
Yeah, listen.
And invite some folks who have been thinking about labor in the arts.
No,
for
they
years.
Definitely don't want to do
not.
That.
They really don't.
No,
they
really want to show cool, hot art. And like, I could provide that for you. No shade. But they had this thing for one of their artists where, one of their artists had cancer and doesn't have like health care. And so they had this big auction. To,
yeah.
Like raise money
people
for them
donated pieces
and it just made me think because a lot of people were saying the art world not so bad, look at the way that you know the community takes care of its own, and I was like
it's an indictment.
No dude, like
it's an indictment,
you know,
of the system.
It's like seriously people need health care.
Yes.
And like we shouldn't be having auctions to like make sure a person gets like, and also like how many treatments for their cancer do you keep having auctions, and then like what if more than one person has cancer you know, or anything else that they need help with, like I like the sentiment is there and it's great that people support each other and that's that community care kind of thing, but we need a system for people to actually get the help that they need.
I think you're brilliant for bringing this up because it's exactly linked to the culture of like GoFundMes and like, you know,
yeah,
like all art communities do this, right?
And
like,
we've been talking a little bit, I think, over the course of our podcast about the way like people are kind of expected to be like entertaining enough to like be taken care of.
exactly. You have to prove a certain like popularity threshold to get your digital score points aligned to win the GoFundMe awards. I want to say a personal thing. I I've considered getting top surgery a lot of times, and there's a lot of like really cool fundraisers that people do to get people surgery money. I'm just against that wholesale, and I don't want to ever do that because it's not fair to the people who do not have the networks to do those sort of fundraisers. It just doesn't, it doesn't feel, it, I, it feels too greedy to do that or something. Greedy's the wrong
word.
Well,
it's intense.
Because it, like, it feels fucked up. It feels like, it's like, why am, you know, all people should have this without having to make a big, like to beg your community to do, to fund it for you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It should just be a given for everybody. And this is like, you know, this is a lot of how community is weaponized. It's not, people want to dress it up like it's this powerful alternative to the system, but it's not. It's just a big, it's people surviving and doing what they can and doing what they need to do. And it's fucked up, and we deserve so much more than that.
Yeah, you know? It is an alternative to the system, but it's not one that we should have to settle for.
It's not one that we should settle for. And that's what pissed me off so much about this fucking article, was because it is dressing up this thing as like it's like pressuring individuals to build this structure when people don't have fucking time to take care of themselves when they're sick, you know? People don't have time to fucking have children. People don't have time. Like, people can't live their lives.
You're telling me, but like, I spent also a lot of time like alone in this whole thing too.
It's like, while you were sick.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time sick and alone, and you know, everybody is just like online posting about community or some shit. I'm like, what is going on?
It is beautiful to participate in a big action, like, for example, like on Friday was Fuck the Police 3, and it is very heartening to see people come out for, like, come out and be together.
I want to see more Gorilla Glue in the card swipers.
It's a cool one.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
I want to see a little more of that.
It's happening. I mean, let's couch that for the later half of the episode and get into this article a bit while we're on the topic of, like, you know,
care. Read it.
Okay,
what does it say? I want to hate.
Oh god. Okay.
Ready to hate.
I mean, you know, you'll see.
Ready to fucking hate.
If you've spent any time on planet Earth in the past 5 years, chances are that someone has recommended that you take some time for self-care. Maybe a friend has encouraged you to enjoy a treat-yourself kind of day. Maybe they've told you to make yourself a bubble bath, gel manicure, download a self-care app that can teach you to breathe better. At the heart of all this advice is the same operational principle. If you want to feel better, you need to do the labor yourself for yourself. That's why some experts, like Nikita Valerio, a Toronto-based community organizer and researcher who specializes in building cross-cultural bridges, asks people to consider practicing another form of compassion, community care. Gets keyword, asks people to consider another form. Like, this is still asking people to do it. Like, it's not asking, like, we should be asking our institutions and our governments to do this. Like, so that's, like, the key thing with this, I think, but...
Yeah. Oh, it just reminded me of this post I saw on Twitter that was like, you know, actually, I wish that we would go back to communal kitchens, just like in the Soviet Union, because
it's such
a great idea. Like, who even needs their own kitchen? And I'm like, dude, I can't even share a kitchen with one person because their shit gets all up in my shit. Do you know how, like, screwed up kitchens get when there's just, like, one person who doesn't take care of it? No. I think kitchens, bathrooms, everybody gets their own. I'd rather share, like, a bed. I mean, you know, that's something that people do. It's like, this is insane, the way that people are like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to totally internalize this idea that, like, I'm a really good leftist, so I actually don't even need anything that is a creature comfort of, like, a civilized society.
It's individualizing stuff that we should not be individualizing, and in the guise of being communal, right? It's taking away.
Well, it's not individualizing. It's like putting the onus on the individual to communalize situations that don't necessarily need. It's like, oh, okay, well, you have limited resources. Well, why don't you share them all? It's like,
no,
you don't have to do that. Like, there's people who are hoarding resources and they need to share. Not like we pick up the slack for everybody.
Yes, but my point is that, like, if we start to, like, pressure culture to adapt to communal kitchens while we're still under capitalism, capitalists are just going to use that cynically to sell like a worry-free lifestyle, like in Sorry to Bother You,
yeah,
as like of like it's happening already in Japan, right? It's happening already in lots of places throughout Asia where like they're like
the compartmentalized lifestyle thing, like, where everything renting, is miniaturized and everything is like coffin sized.
Exactly. Literally coffin sized. They're trying to do it in like Silicon Valley and it's not really catching on. It's like, and it just sucks because like I think that there is a beautiful communist future where people, if they don't want to maintain an individual kitchen, they could have the option to have a communal kitchen. But I think
some people don't even cook and don't want a kitchen at all.
Exactly.
Like, bless them.
Bless them. They
can have an option.
Like,
this is America.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, but we can't, all I'm saying is we can't, like, be giving that to the landowning class to, like, then build apartments without kitchens.
Well, it's also, it's just not a moral issue, guys. It's not for us to talk to each other and, you know, because it's like somebody goes, oh, well, I could totally live without these personal touches. Why can't you? Like, we're a community.
Right.
And it's like, dude, you know what? I'm not, like, a moral, I'm not like morally bankrupt because I enjoy having private facilities. Like, I'm not like a villain because I want to poop on a toilet that's mine. You know what I mean? It's just like,
and this is the theme of what? This is the theme of the episode today.
It
should not be placed. The onus should not be placed on the individual. To do community care and to do community living.
Yeah, it's not our place to to like police ourselves.
No, it's not. So unlike self-care, community care does not place the onus of compassion on a single individual. In a phone interview with Mashable, Valerio defined community care as people committed to leveraging their privilege to be there for one another in various ways.
What?
Yet this form of care isn't entirely selfless, at least not in the long run. They, care providers, know that when they will also need care in the future, others will be there for them. Community care involves more than one person. It can include two, three, or possibly hundreds of people. You can practice community care in your personal offline life or even in digital spaces. It's so much bigger and so much more important than a manicure. What is community care anyway? The term community, this is
it is bigger than a manicure, smaller than a bread box.
It's so fucking frustrating. This article, like I did, like when I first saw it, I did like a control F for like Bernie Sanders, Medicaid, healthcare. Not even the word healthcare appears in this article.
What do they think that community care is?
The the term community care is known in social movements and in the nonprofit world, but as yet to move into mainstream culture. The concept shouldn't be that hard to translate. Community care is basically any care provided by a single individual to benefit. See, they said that before that it's not on the single individual, but it is, provided by a single individual to benefit other people in their life. This can take the form of protests, for which community care is best known, but also simple interpersonal acts of compassion.
Okay.
Community care can look like a lot of different things, Valerio says. It can be as simple as reaching out to somebody over text when you just need someone to talk. It can be grabbing groceries for you, or someone coming and doing your dishes and watching your kids while you're grieving. This is all things that you could have benefited from when you were sick, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, and this, I'm not trying to mock that this is like important things to do for your friends and to be there for your neighbors, like all of that shit. I'm 1,000% for.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird because, you know, what? why does the media sphere feel the need to keep producing articles telling us what to do with ourselves? Like how to
these media people don't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah, they're like, I'm gonna write a piece. It's about friendship. How do I do it? Hold on, I'm gonna go talk to nonprofit expert about. Okay, so do you think it's good to show up like for people who are like maybe you like around you or? Or no? What do you think? Do you have a graph to back that up or any?
It's just a lack of imagination is the main critique here. It's a lack of imagination. It's a lack of political will and like a disregard of like the vast amount of like grassroots movement energy is happening in the Bernie Sanders campaign around Medicaid for all, like,
oh, sure.
In particular.
And those town halls are so inspiring. Yeah. Like, I definitely am reinvigorated every time I see people get up and they actually, like, participate in the vulnerability that it takes to communicate the ways that their life has gone off track. And then that they are just people, like, who have gotten to the point where they are not succumbing to alienation. They are saying, we believe that if we do focus on, like, what
this
system
demand
has failed us,
yeah,
that we can keep our communities intact and see them strengthened with, like, you know, with Medicare for All. With
yes.
It's just,
yes, that's,
yeah.
That's the point.
We're not, like, they've gotten all the way to that, and it's like, why would you need an article like telling you? That's so insane.
No,
these people. You know, I bet that this writer probably also wrote a piece that was like, the youth are becoming lost to their friendships because the internet is really keeping them isolated, and I'm gonna tell them how to go outside and play ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's already, I mean, like we said, it's already contradicted itself. Like, Valerio compares community care to extended family, where members are intimately connected and routinely perform acts of compassion on behalf of one another. It's more than going to someone's art opening. It's also about being committed, being there for people. Valeria says
something that happens to literally every American. Yeah.
This is very relatable.
I have to go to someone's art opening.
Very fucking relatable.
I mean, it's my community. I have to go. All of us are firemen, but one of the firemen is having an art opening. Maybe.
I mean, we don't even have, like, you know, in New York City, we used to have a more communal feel to a lot of these, like, art events that are slowly disappearing. You know, I could see that being. It's just stupid. Sorry. It's so New York, sorry.
Yeah.
It's about being there for people without them having to take the initial first step. It's about adopting an ethos of compassion and very intentionally applying that. I fundamentally believe in like creating your own family and like being there for your friends. Like I said, not trying to bash that. While sustained interpersonal acts of kindness are a critical part of community care, there are also more structured versions. They can take a number of forms: neighborhood groups, communal homes, support groups, and community-based nonprofits.
Maybe what they're trying to say is that society is over, and we don't really need to focus on the idea of getting electoral politics or like any larger structures back on track, because they're actually just dog whistling for a reinforced tribalism.
Well, I mean, like that is like a like something that might happen if like, you know, if like an eco-fascism or some shit like severely takes home, if like the DNC totally rat fucks like the only like real shot we have at like a grassroots.
Oh, they're going to.
They're going to.
I mean, God, they're already like, they're like taking every chance they can get to like.
But it's like write this sort of strategy after like we don't have exhausted all viable fucking options to like fundamentally change the country, which we aren't going to, because like we have the momentum, and like even if Bernie is rat fucked at whatever chance, like at whatever time it is, like even if like he's gets into the presidency and he's rat fucked, then like we have this momentum that isn't gonna dissipate. People are demanding this, and this is what we need to be focusing on.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So here it continues. Patricia O'Midian, for example, is an anthropologist and founding director of Focusing International, which provides community wellness services around the world. O'Midian's practice is grounded in community care principles. For O'Midian, community care is an especially powerful form of care in marginalized communities that are more collectivist than individualist. In certain communities in Afghanistan, for example, O'Midian found that she had to work with groups, not individuals, to reduce the levels of domestic violence. When dealing with violence against women committed by other women in Afghanistan, O'Midian says she really needs to really work at the family level to change levels of domestic violence. Valeria has experienced similar experiences. She references a Muslim Jewish community collective she's built that, among other things, help individuals escape from abusive homes. Many of the women who are in Valeria's group have survived violence themselves. We have gotten women out of their houses and into safe housing. We literally go like a team of six women, pack their stuff, get them out, do things for each other too.
This is reminding me of another article that I read about women who are raising families on their own. And it's like, it kind of bothered me in the same way, because there's always this like, it's like a part of feminist rhetoric where, you know, it's like, hey, the world is extremely disappointing, and chances are you've been abused by an intimate partner if they're a male, or, you know, like, yeah, or maybe, you know, maybe a family member, or, you know, yeah, chances are your life has been shat on by a man somehow. But that's okay, ladies, because look at these women. See, they're straight, okay? They're not gay, but they're raising children together. And the children may or may not be theirs, you know? Like, you don't even have to go through that childbirth that'll give you stretch marks and make you unattractive to a man, you know? It's you can, so like, deeply. Keep your... You can keep your shape, and you can have that whole biological thing that you're definitely going through. You know, you really want babies, and you can just get them from an orphanage. Yay! And take care of them all together. It's like, I mean, you know, that's a really, sorry for being so cynical sounding and sarcastic, but it's, you know, I have considered at some points, like, you know what, my life is great and fine, and I really like all my friends and whatever, you know, you don't have to participate in like the nuclear family to be happy. And I get that that's what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what, you know, these like survival organizations are saying. But also, what if we had a system of accountability that stopped these sorts of like domestic violence things from happening in the first place? Or like, you know, what if we had better education?
What if these women who are doing this work in these communities were actually like paid by like a federal jobs program to do care work, which is like a lot of what is in the Sanders like healthcare platform.
Oh, sure.
Which is like actually getting like women and other sorts of people who do family and community care work and don't like and therefore can't put into Social Security because they're doing unpaid community and family labor. What if they're actually like invited into a massive federal jobs program where they could actually get funding to do this, and then it's not just like a privileged group of people who are like using their extra time that they somehow have in this fucked up world.
Well, it's not even necessarily like privileged or anything at that point.
No, it's not.
You know, that's actually like,
yeah,
that's the survival work that you have to do if you're trying to get like a friend out of an abusive situation, or if you're trying to like maintain a community that, you know, is a lower earning community to begin with because of like the sexism involved in. Or, you know.
No, of course, but I'm just using the word that they use in the article as, like, you know, people using their privilege to go back and help their community. I don't think that's what's actually happening here.
Right. It's like, you know, what are they supposed to do? Otherwise, people can be killed in situations, like, if they're left to their own devices.
And it's not, it's promoting the false scarcity. Is what I'll say also, is that it's like, it's just like, oh, we're all dealt this hand and we all just need to like embrace this lifestyle because there's no changing it or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Like, it's like, hey, let's not talk about anything that got us up to this point. Instead, why don't we make it all sound like a fun adventure?
And they are cynically using the language of like feminist and queer practice and theory to sell to larger other groups or something, but it's like it's just so fucked to because I think the queer community and feminist communities are so resilient and like have gone through decades and decades of just like the worst, most heinous shit thrown at them because of these practices, but it's not a substitution for redistribution of the like top like fucking billionaires and millionaires that could be funding an actually robust system of care that isn't just makeshift patchwork like this is suggesting, of like nonprofits and random groups. Like it doesn't categorically make any sense. It's just like
we're in agreement.
Yeah.
Folks, listen, it's not on us to change everything. We
can't. And they want art to do the same thing. And that's why I thought it was brilliant that you brought up like an art specific example.
Oh, sure.
Because art.
No, auctions and funding programs are always like the go-to, which is so bizarre. I've seen so many people like, you know, it's like, oh, what do? We want to bring awareness to something. Like, oh, well, we'll just have an auction, or like, we'll just make, you know.
Right. And they want art to replace mental health care. They want art to replace, community centers. Like it's can't do that without like.
Yeah. Everybody doesn't want to do art. You know, everybody isn't like, oh my God, I've just been dying my whole life. I wish I could use some paint and now I can and I'm better now. It's like, no, some people don't want to make a painting or some, you know what I mean? And it always boils down to that too.
There's a cultural chauvinism that happens with like these sort of conversations, I think. Yeah. Like people are just like, yeah, well, we'll just, yeah. Well, it's, I mean, that gets into like the sort of like galleries popping up in like, gentrifying neighborhoods, and it's like people don't want this in their neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
like people express themselves in other ways that isn't necessarily like these you know, whitewashed art spaces. But anyway, oh wait, let's finish up the article. Okay.
Oh God, there's more.
Valeria discovered the power of community care. When she was struggling with postpartum depression, she turned to it, not just one, but a community of doulas who specialized in postpartum issues to help her deal with trauma. In the midst of her crisis, Valeria recognized that self-care just wasn't enough to do the real work of healing. Self-care was a band-aid for a much bigger problem. She needed others to survive. The takeaway of that is not that another form of self-care, but just more collectivist. It's like, it's not, God. And then
it's such a confusing amount of inputs there, because it's like, okay, so you're suffering from postpartum, and so then you went to go see some doulas, but that means like I have to.
It's bad.
It's not just supposed to make sense.
It's just incoherent people with a lack of imagination and like money from NGOs. That's what this article is. Community care can improve people's individual well-being. Valeria's feelings are highly understandable. Brian Wall, PhD, is an assistant scientist in the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, who strongly... Sorry, I'm laughing at Bloomberg School of Public Health.
Yeah. Well, he's so good about caring.
I'm losing my mind. This is what they want. They want to rat fuck fucking Bloomberg to be the nominee. It's like,
they don't want him to be the nominee.
Dude,
nobody wants him to be the nominee. Are you kidding?
Did you see that they changed the rules to allow him in the next debate?
Yes.
Fuck.
He just buys his way into things.
I'm losing my mind with this shit.
No.
And it's so... Well,
he's got crazy eyes. Don't worry. He'll like, fall down some stairs or something.
God, okay. Bloomberg School of Public Health, who strongly believes in a community-based system of care and support system like Valeria's. For Wall, minimizing social isolation and turning to community for support is a critical ingredient in mental health. We would never ask anybody to deal with other health issues on their own, but we do all the fucking time. Sorry. Wall told Mashable in a phone interview, let's say you've got a terrible case of pneumonia. Lucia, talking to you.
Okay, all right. I'm imagining that maybe I could be sick.
There are systems and structures set up to help with these things. Mental health should be no different.
Oh, yeah.
Was that your experience?
Wow, yeah. Actually, I feel like there's been every step of the way a little guide.
Wall believes that to maximize wellness, people should receive community care from both their government and their friend networks. Okay, thank you for adding the one mention of government in this fucking thing. But not everybody is lucky enough to enjoy the strong circle of friends that Wall believes is essential to health. Okay, I'm turning. This guy's saying some shit.
Yeah.
People have been surveyed every several years about how close friends they have, Wall says. Increasingly, it's gone down and down. The average is less than one. Most people have zero very close friends. That's terrifying. Could you imagine not having any close friends that you could feel like you can call up and talk to? Wall is careful not to blame individuals themselves for their isolation. Shrinking social networks are a cultural problem. Building friendships takes emotional and sometimes financial resources that people simply can't afford to spare. Still, Wall hopes that people make the effort to develop meaningful friendship networks who can provide community care down the road. Wall's claim is backed up by clinical evidence showing that friendships improve well-being and longevity. If you have the means, you have the time. If you have the means and have the time, finding those communities is something you should prioritize, Wall says.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Wall argues, plenty of people don't have the means and the time. That's part of the reason why many people rely on self-care and part of the problem. Self-care alone can't solve systemic issues. For that, you need community care. How could they take that part of the article with the doctor guy and then... It's so fucking frustrating that the next header of this, like literally it's like the next header of this article isn't like okay, let's talk about when he said the part about governments and like not people not having the resources to participate in community care. And then it just turns around again and it's like, self-care is primarily an act of compassion directed towards oneself. And while that sounds nice on paper, Valeria struggles with the actual practice of it. Valeria is a Muslim woman. In her experience, self-care can't fully heal or protect her community and herself. Self-care does not address the systemic issue people who face compounded discrimination might have to deal with, Valeria says. It might be getting a pedicure, but it's not going to stop anybody from coming up to me and asking me why I wear a hijab. I'm Muslim. We Muslim women can't leave our identity at home when we go to get our pedicures. Valeria is careful to note that community care also isn't enough to solve structural oppression on its own, and that not all forms of self-care are vacuous. Self-care can't do much to lessen systemic inequality. Someone's bills aren't going to be paid because they swept the floor, Valeria says, but it can help improve mood. Community care isn't going to create a socialist utopia overnight either. No shit. While he's a strong proponent of community care like Valeria, Wall also doesn't want to totally devalue self-care. There are some forms of self-care, like taking a walk in nature, that are proven to help improve one's mood. Disconnection from nature is one of these underlying causes of depression, Wall says. So a lot of this depends on what kind of self-care you're talking about. The kind of self-care people have advocated for me has not been inspiring. Omidian, while similarly concerned about self-care, also believes community care is impossible without it. It's hard for me to say that community care is separate from self-care, Omidian says. I work really hard internationally with aid organizations to help get self-care to workers so that they can do the humanitarian work of community care. Still, Valerio believes that community care is a better case base than self-care for building a more equitable society and healthier people. Community care is a better stepping stone to justice and self-care, Valerio says. It addresses the fact that we're naturally cooperative. We require validation from one another psychologically to preserve and be resilient. That's where community care offers something different. We're doing it together and trying to survive in a system that's built against us. It's a powerful system of care, and while most of the examples of community care seems to happen in offline places, on the front lines of a protest at a shelter, there's plenty of examples of community care in the digital sphere as well.
Well, it sounds like they're saying, you know.
I mean, that's not bad.
It's you know, I'm coming around on this article.
It's got like the ending, the one PhD guy like mentioning the government exactly one time, and like the points that I feel like this is probably a case of like this author interviewed these people and like kind of cherry picked the stuff that makes it sound more of a like a self-help situation than like
I think that this article is just written for people who don't necessarily understand why their friends are going to protests or something,
right?
You know, it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, there's like there's all of these kind of they're like undecided voters who don't participate on the daily with what's going on and like the struggle to change their environment. And it's like, oh man, all these like leftist people are just like finding things to get mad about, and they're all getting together and they're getting mad. But instead this article is saying like, hey, you know, they're actually getting together and trying to help themselves. It's cool.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I mean, I'm all right with some kind of blanket terms getting applied to people's praxis just for the uninitiated.
No, it's true. And I think, yeah, I mean, and like we were saying throughout, like, it's just like, it can't, it's just, it can't be used as a substitution for, you know, actually funding like a Medicaid for all.
Now, see, like, I got a huge issue with this article though, which is that they really slander getting your nails done. And they're like,
it's nice to get your nails
done. You know what? I like having my nails done, and screw you, lady.
Yeah, and like, and And then she does say, like, explicitly, they go, for one thing, companies can't make money from community care in the way they do in the self-care industrial complex represented by lifestyle brands like Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop.
Ugh.
Goop trades heavily in the self-care wellness market, selling trendy products like $190 aromatherapy stone diffusers. The company's worth an estimated $250 million. But how do you monetize a friend who comes over to do your laundry when you're too sick to get up? How do you capitalize on a volunteer experience?
People do that?
They're not. For Valerio.
You can come over, guys. I need you to clean my shit.
I mean, it's true. If you had asked for help, we would have come helped you.
Oh, that's so weird. That is like a completely alien concept.
But people can't do that. I mean, maybe this article is for you.
I straight up would never ask someone to come and do my shit for me.
Which is what, okay, so for Lario, monetizing community care is antithetical to the practice's core values. Community care is anti-capitalist, Valerio says. What you're doing can't be monetized, and it's often working outside the system. We still have these cultural myths about how we should be able to make it our own, which is why self-care is popular, but in community care, the solution isn't marketable. Even though community care can't be monetized in the same way as self-care, that doesn't mean it can't become more popular. The more people learn about community care, the more likely it is to show up in everyday life, apps, other places in the digital sphere. Wall believes that governments can play a real role in popularizing and institutionalizing community care, even in societies as individualistic as ours. A lot of health systems do not approach mental health in the same way they do infectious disease, Wall says. In the broadest issue, I believe that the government can use community care for some of these health issues. It's noted that community care is in brackets here because I think this guy doesn't want to say it like that. But change is possible. It's true that community care may not ever take up as much as the market as self-care, but that doesn't make it any less important. So so at the end, the article does have some good takeaways.
Yeah, that actually just seemed like a fine article. Sorry, article, for getting down on you. And
I still don't like the framing of community care because it's something that's so easily co-optable. I think that on the forefront of this whole thing should be, here's this viable political movement that's like been happening for the past couple of years that we should all be supporting as part of expanding this idea of community care.
Well, that's, yeah. I think that's just a different article, though. This one is really an introductory kind of, like, it's very, very soft. Like, imagine, if you will, a world where people have friends that do stuff for each other. Now, this is wild, but there's communities that are operating in this way.
It's true. And we've talked on this podcast before about, like, being critical of the idea that community is reactionary. Like, we've talked about on this podcast before that we fundamentally don't believe that. I just would caution, like, just, like, I don't know.
Community is reactionary is such a cynical
phrase. It's totally cynical. It's like,
what then is your proposed alternative?
Right.
Community is reactionary, but like society is not or something.
Yeah.
You know, like what? Well, I guess society isn't reactionary as it is like the...
Well, it's just the type of leftists who are more into... of an authority.
I was going to say society plays on hegemonic constructs. So it would be like, this is the thing that you would react against. And then to be like considering any like separatist activity would be in reaction to hegemon.
But like we've been saying, it like this sort of like, community care is a way that these marginalized communities are surviving. I think there's a position to take somewhere in the middle of those two thoughts, like where we are asking each other to be involved in each other's lives. Like the Bernie campaign's really good slogan right now, I think, is not me, us, right?
Yeah.
That is so perfectly aligned with this political campaign that I think it's like, it should be on the forefront of all of these disparate activist communities' minds. I think we'd have a lot more power that way. But
yeah,
I don't know, some sort of like melding of the two dual power situation is like going on in my mind.
They definitely had the potential to give some energy to the Bernie campaign, and they could have easily laid the groundwork for some arguments that his platform is doing a great job of moving forward into the public consciousness. But like, you know, that's not what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And I think they were also maybe considering some, it sounded more like they were working on an international scale where they were like, hey, you know, I'm going to just talk about these people that I know in Afghanistan, and I'm going to talk about these people who are like working in NGOs, and I'm going to describe community as something that is not necessarily resembling the one that you might be in America.
Yes.
So like, here's this thing that everyone is doing cross-culturally to care for each other in various ways.
Yes. My ideal, I'm just like my utopian vision is like, you know, we don't have fucking NGOs doing humanitarian work.
No, of course.
Yeah, it's just like,
it's maddening though. Yeah. I mean, you know, at a certain point it's like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Definitely don't want all of these like Fulbright kids running around to just trying to fix the world. Like,
yeah, I think our instincts in the beginning of the article weren't wrong. Like, the idea that like we shouldn't be selling ourselves short, we shouldn't just accept a worry-free lifestyle, meaning like in Sorry to Bother You, when they're literally like commercials on the screen advertising like, hey, there's four people a bunk in community kitchens. And,
yeah, totally.
Like,
and it's fun.
Free TV and whatever. Like, you know, there's that's, I think, is like something to always keep in mind when we're like being, who's actually doing the selling here. And I just, it just freaked me out after, like, it just freaked me out to see that article getting passed around so much in my feed without any sort of, like, extra, like, push to be like, yes, and this is why we need Medicaid for all. Like, just seeing it, like, kind of published as is, or, you know, amongst, like, my friends.
And no, totally. It's like, hey, check it out.
Like,
this article says community. Like, I'm fine with everything inside of it. No, no critical lens here. They just slipped right in under the radar.
That was just my initial like thing. I've just literally like this morning was just like, what is happening here? What is happening here?
Yeah. No, that makes sense, because it's kind of like the way that language in general fails to describe enough of the situations that we're working on, and a lot of momentum can be taken away from a movement that you feel personally invested in through the kind of like double speak that people use in like liberal circles.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. It's and it's weird, because it is like,
I think I've just been so on edge about liberalism.
Yeah.
It just like set me off.
No, definitely. And it's totally fair to be concerned, because a lot of this is really happening. Like, a lot of it is that, you know, especially talking about like the whole Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders thing, it's like the progressive block of voters have this tendency to like look at surface statements and and then make false equivalents.
Right.
And then what we're seeing now is like all of this rhetoric from the Bernie side of things getting like
washed,
totally washed by Warren.
Yeah.
And then when you try to have a conversation about the actual meaning of where people's like concepts are coming from, it's met with a lot of like emotional baggage and intensity.
People are afraid of Trump and they're just like, why?
They're afraid of misogyny.
Right. Yes,
and like misogyny. he's like a symptom of it.
Yes.
But now they're all backed up in this like really specific corner of thinking, oh, well, the world is just like run by all of these horrible like sexual offenders and like, you know,
which is true.
Yeah, it's totally true.
But then they turn to Hillary Clinton as like some sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, she's also a predator.
Yes. Have you not seen her with all of the criminals? Every criminal. She only makes friends with criminals.
And like, and the ties of like people, the Hillary people in the Warren campaign should be super worrying. Should be super fucking worrying.
Yeah.
To people. I'm not saying that like she's on the same level of Hillary as all. She's definitely not. But like she's got a lot of that camp in her corner right now.
No,
more,
and
like,
it's
progressive
super
wing of the Hillary camp in her corner.
I just think it's crazy that like Warren spent so long working as a corporate consultant.
Yes.
And nobody questions that she is like, you know, saying that she is going to hold all of this capitalism accountable, like, or like how
that's what I'm
how what do you mean?
Yes.
She like worked making money for them.
We've just been so diluted into just like accepting corporatist shills in politics that like we can't even like support this like very viable alternative to it that's happening, and it's very extremely frustrating.
Well, it's a viable alternative in that people actually want Bernie Sanders.
That's what I mean.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
and that's what drives me nuts is like the folks that I know who are like just so upset with misogyny that they think they need to support Warren, that Warren is just woman Bernie Sanders, but it's just like there's a bunch of people who are cynically using the identity to sell you like this is the most progressive way to vote, and it's just fucking not.
Yeah, and it's crazy. People talk about her as it's like, oh, well, you know, Bernie Sanders is a socialist and he's not going to be able to get anything passed in the Senate. Or everyone's going to be against him.
The lack of imagination in these like politically engaged circles is like, just like setting me off right now.
Yeah, but and like how would you see Warren as getting around those issues? Then that's not it's
yeah.
If there's going to be pushback, there's going to be pushback against both of them. So that's not a viable argument.
They call Obama a socialist, you know, like they.
Oh, I know.
They couldn't even get the most conservative. The conservatives like should have been all over fucking Obamacare. It's literally just Romney Care.
Yeah.
But they couldn't even get past that, and they called that socialism. So we might as well fucking do like you know, FDR style New Deal shit. Like it's like, you know,
yeah,
because like that,
it's like push it through.
Yeah, well, because that like that's what I was like looking at also was like you know, JFK and like these folks who talked about like within the Democratic Party like like an anti-corporatist bent and they weren't even like that great on stuff, but it's like at least there used to be this Democratic contingent that was anti-corporatist. We don't even really like it's been so thoroughly diluted and it sucks. And so the Sanders campaign is the theory that these people are still fundamental to the party, and just the party itself, the DCCC, all this shit has just been so locked into corporate interests and capitalist interests that they don't want it to emerge.
Yeah, they no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it makes so much sense that they're taking money from super PACs, and yep. they are having the worst time trying to navigate the impeachment proceedings, and
yes,
like
because
they can't yeah. handle it because they're all like, you know, complicit.
They're all complicit, exactly.
And they are completely failing to produce any sort of platform that like voters can respond to, because
and they don't even want to save themselves by
well
embracing...
they don't know how. They don't even know. Half of them don't even think that they're in trouble.
Right.
They don't
right.
they have no idea, because they're still in this bubble of thinking, oh well, you know, like maybe they think that they're doing all right by supporting market interests or something, or maybe they
well, maybe
just
they
think
have
like,
market interests, right? Maybe
yeah.
they have a retirement tied up in the market. Maybe they have
oh they
yeah,
they
whatever.
Absolutely have the all of the money that they get.
They
is
have real
like,
estate, like it's yeah. like a lot of these liberals, like it's,
which fine, you know. I'm honestly
I'm
like
sympathetic.
I don't know, like
really.
I honestly can't like keep track of everyone who has a house.
No, but
you know
I
what
mean,
I mean? It's
but
like,
that's why
all right,
I think,
great, guys.
But
like,
I think that's why people tend to have a more embrace of the market. Like people embrace like owning Amazon stock, for example, because ugh. They don't see an alternative. And so that's like, I think why I'm so anxious about like the primary tomorrow, because it'll be
yeah,
like,
it's gonna really let us know.
It's gonna let
what,
us know
where the chips
yeah.
are gonna fall, because
yeah.
a lot of pressure is placed on these like early states, and it's like this one and then New Hampshire.
Well, they didn't
next
even
week.
Publish the poll. They didn't even publish the Des Moines fucking forget what it's called. The Des Moines Register's poll that has called the primary for the past 50 years. They refuse to publish
yeah.
it. There's different rumors as to why. One of the rumors is that a Buttigieg person got the survey and was mad that Buttigieg wasn't on it.
Oh my
and,
god. That's no, that is ridiculous.
That is what's happening right now.
No.
That is what's happening right now. But other poll, and that was supposed to be released last night. And CNN even had like a big hour sculpted out to present the poll when it dropped, and they had to abandon their programming, and then they just ran like a anti-Bernie hit piece.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dude, it's happening.
Wow.
Like they're like
yeah, people I know yeah, I was seeing some of the like, you know, the poll or the polls where it would be like Biden and Bernie, but then Biden has less
oh yeah
I, so he's on top
so the still. Leak the leak I think has shown that Biden's actually slipped to fourth,
yeah, well,
which is kind of crazy, yeah, it's kind of amazing. And if that's true,
he's crazy.
But if that's true, it's gonna where yeah,
that means I know
we mean business. This shit
look
is...
Bernie is the only viable candidate, and that doesn't mean that the DNC isn't going to rig the shit out of it, out of everything.
Everything.
And just, you know,
throughout.
Probably, like if Joe Biden becomes the president somehow, I wouldn't be surprised, because I
right.
would just think, yeah, of course,
right.
the 2016 race was rigged.
People are going to be out in the streets to demand a government that works for them. And
yeah.
I think it's gonna the character of that crowd is being determined here. Are we going to have a seriously angry Milwaukee during the Democratic National Convention this year?
Yeah.
Or are we going to see a crowd of yes, we're going to do this, we're building momentum, and we're going to keep being out here to demand that our Congress fit our needs.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, I want I want Bernie to be the president.
Yes.
I think it'd be great.
But I think we're going to see angry mobs in the street.
I think, oh, absolutely. Like, things are not going to be solved by this election cycle whatsoever. We're entering into
We're determining the character of the protests, of the
I'm just curious advocacy. About the pro, like the way that protests are functioning at this point, because for me, I keep seeing like a lot of people that are making equivalents to other movements, and there's like a really fundamental difference in the societal structure of mm-hmm. America and the places where uprisings are actually like taking hold.
Right. We're no Chile. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. And let's say, all right, I'm going to throw this out there. France is like the closest society we have to our own that is actually managing to like sustain and upheaval. And I keep having this like this kind of little back and forth with people that's like, oh man, you know, what's wrong with Americans? What's wrong with them? They don't understand. And I'm like,
they're cooked.
Yeah. And like, all right, have you seen the footage from the riots and everything going on in France? Have you seen the cops? They have sticks.
Yeah. They have sticks.
They have sticks. The cops are using sticks there.
They have sticks.
The cops have machine guns here. So before you start calling your friends cucks,
yep.
maybe just think about how they don't want to die.
It's scary. I mean, literally on Friday during FTP3, we were surrounded at every single exit with machine guns.
Yeah.
And then in Grand Central, if you can imagine, the entire balcony positions.
No, you don't. All, I mean, I've yeah. See the photos. Look at the photos. There's just every right. then and huge. The guns are huge,
and they're huge, and they're trained on you. And like, and then not only that, there's also I posted a photo on our Twitter of like a dozen plainclothes cops.
Oh sure,
just trying to meld with the crowd. Like are tackling people for taking out markers, you know, like,
yeah, exactly. It's like it's like, oh, you're using a marker, okay, well that's grounds for us to enact violence on you.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, you know what, that's a situation that people seriously need to think about in, I don't know, in realistic terms, because if we do have a popular movement, like if we do want to like build a front and talk at all about, you know, there's everyone say like class war, people's war, like if you want to challenge the ruling class, like honestly, to what end?
Right. I think this is why we need dual power, because we need the power to lessen and disarm the cops.
Yeah.
We absolutely do, because otherwise we cannot, like, we've, I think, you know, I was comparing the FTP protests to the Black Lives Matter protests, and then Eric Garner protests, and I really feel like capitalists have been very successful even within the past 5 years of lessening the impact of protests like this. And I think it is only going to get worse unless we can seriously find a way to disarm the cops.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
There's no way it can grow otherwise. And I think
that, you know, that I totally agree with that, which is something that I was talking about, yeah. Like, I mean, even last year,
yes.
When I was saying, and, you know, I think I brought up also on the pod, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we had these subway protests? Or, like, wouldn't it be cool?
No, totally.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I know, I'm not
anti-protest at all.
Anti-protest or anything.
I don't think you're coming across that way.
I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to hint at something without being obvious on a recording. The opposition is extremely well armed and has endowed itself with the right to kill civilians. Right. And really, there's no legal system that is like holding these people accountable. Like, these cops are getting to keep their jobs.
Totally.
And just kill people.
They murdered a bunch of the Ferguson protests. They are successfully murdering. They murdered Eric Garner. They murdered Erica Garner.
Yeah. Like, they walk into people's houses and kill people in their houses.
Right. I mean, but yeah. And
what, I mean, it's just like to the level. I don't know.
I'm totally agreeing, and I'm saying that yeah. not only is it like that dire, it's dire enough that they are murdering their opposition. They are literally murdering their opposition without impunity.
It wasn't even opposition at that point. They were just murdering people.
Right.
Because that would imply you were already enlisted in some kind of a thing against the cops.
Of course the cops just murder regular people, and that's, you know, the reason Black Lives Matter sprung out was to fight that, but I think that they have successfully dissipated Black Lives Matter from being a viable movement that could build and actually enact their demands.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Oh, no. We're saying the same.
Yes, both are happening. And it's incumbent on us to find some legal ways to try to disarm and lessen the cops. Because what else can we fucking do? They're murdering us.
Exactly. Like, it's to the point where, and like, I mean, once you start to look at the field and understand, like, we don't have a lot of grounds to achieve on our own.
Right.
I'm like,
and people are willing to martyr themselves. The people showing up, like, make no fucking mistake. The people who are like showing up and in the face of like being tackled and being imprisoned like constantly being like almost killed by these cops.
But Grand Central is actually a really good place to have these protests, because I doubt that any cop would really want to be the first one to open fire.
Exactly.
And that kind of is like good tactics, like the way that like old union tactics used to work, where it was like, okay, well, like, let's chain ourselves to the machinery because capitalists think that the machines are more valuable than the workers, so they're not going to want to shoot those up, otherwise it'll cost them. So like, oh, okay, well, you know what, I'm like chaining myself to this beautiful train station so you can't
I think that it's a tactic that Occupy Wall Street took, right? They took over the park.
The park is not the same thing, but
right. But just the idea of taking up a public place.
Yeah, the public. No, I think it's not. It's all public places are not the same. Like
Zuccotti
Park, it's not the same thing.
I agree.
But if it's like I'm saying, like a Grand Central is important because of the cultural value, because if there were little bullet holes in the beautiful marble, it would be a problem for the ruling class, because that is like one of their prized structures. And like the park is not the same thing, which is why I know nothing happened to people, but you know, it's like it is a lot easier to conceive of violence in a place where it's like, oh, well, you know, it's a stray bullet going to go into a tree. Who cares about that? You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. I'm just bringing it up because I think the FTP protests were deeply influenced by Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, like, totally.
I think that there was some really successful Occupy Wall Street stuff that happened in New York City.
Yeah.
And I think
it was great.
But I think it causes capitalists to increase the amount of like public-private partnerships, and then suddenly our public spaces are
some really wacky legislation during the Occupy Wall Street
That's what I'm getting times. At.
Yeah. Yeah, where yeah. it was like, oh, let's see, let's get out a tape measure and see like how close you can be to a building when you're organizing a protest. Oops, looks like the park is too close to this building.
Yep, here's your freedom circle.
Yeah.
Where you're allowed to protest in this.
And we've got to see your faces. Yep, that was.
Well, that's what they were doing at Grand Central on Friday, was they were immediately arresting people in masks.
Yep.
Immediately.
Yep. It's so crazy.
It's fucked. It's fucked, and Bernie has to win.
I know. He has to win.
Or it's going to get really, really fucked really fast, because people, all I'm saying is people are willing to fucking martyr themselves. That's the point we're at right now.
Right. And the, and, oh God,
It's really dire. I know. It's really fucking dire. It sucks.
It's weird.
And that's why I'm so fucking cagey about the idea of selling community to capitalists, because like I've seen community, I've been a part of like really important like
I've seen community
like spaces like yeah. spaces that were so important to a marginalized community that have just been totally fucking destroyed by you know rising rents and by like things that we can't control.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's the world. I don't know. It's got too much for me.
We did it though. We made it through this episode. You did a great job, and I think we channeled our bullshit that we're dealing with into something good. And next time you get sick, call me.
Oh yeah, I learned something today. You can tell your friends that you're sick, and they will come over and do your laundry.
It's true.
It's crazy.
I mean, like I said before, if you need help going to the urgent care, I will come help. But
yeah, no, I think that there's other things for me to figure out aside from what the definition of community care is. But that's something that's for the snack cast.
Well, I have been trying to get you to move closer to.
Oh yeah, yeah, you know. One day I'll join the human race.
Come to the magical land of Queens.
Yeah, I love Queens.
Yeah.
I love everything, but I love being alone even more.
Oh, no, I love talking to you. So.
Yay!
Thanks for pumping out an episode, even though yeah. it's hard. Thank you everybody for supporting us, and join our Discord again. Like we say, if you've listened this far, join the Discord.
Yeah.
What's up?
Woohoo.
Thank you everybody for your continued support on our Patreon, and let's have fun out there and win.
Let's have fun
on Iowa tomorrow.
Come on. I care if you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't really matter if you drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you just drive a truck. I don't care if you just drive a limousine. It doesn't really matter if you drive a Ferrari. I really don't care, cause I just love your company. Let's have fun. 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 Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun.